Shalom, and welcome to Torah Timecha Parsha with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Chana Tenenbaum, and today we'll be studying Parshat Ve'ira. This week's Parsha is full of well-known famous stories. In Chapter 18, the three angels dressed as men come to visit Avram and Sarah. Avram outdoes himself with his hospitality, and one of them tells them about the birth of Yitzchak. God then tells Avram about his plan to punish the people of Sodom. Avram, worried that innocent people in Sodom would suffer too, argues with God that he must save the city if there are righteous people there, and God agrees that even if there are 10 innocent men found there, he would spare the city, but unfortunately, there are not even that many. Two of the angels visit Avram's nephew Lot in Sodom, one to rescue him and his family, and the other to destroy the city. Avram and Sarah then move to Gerar, where Sarah is taken to the palace of Avimelech. In chapter 21, the baby promised to Avram and Sarah is born, and they name him Yitzchak. Sarah then tells Avram to remove Yishmael and Hagar from the household. And the end of the parsha is we are told of the story of Akedat Yitzchak, the binding of Yitzchak. Rabbi Krove, whose son Aharon was the most seriously hurt soldier in Operation Cast Lead in 2009, just a week after he was married, tells a story. He, the rabbi, brought his son's CAT scan for a second opinion to the head of the neurology department in an important hospital. The doctor said, based on his experience and medical knowledge, that the person whose tests he was looking at would never walk and talk. Yet, at that time, Aharon was doing just that. Rabbi Krove explained that there are two realities in the world, scientific reality and God's reality. Sometimes these layers overlap, but sometimes they are completely different. Chapter 22 begins with the words, Vayihi achar hadvarim ha'ela, velokim nisa et Avraham, rendered in English as, sometime afterwards, God put Avram to the test. That sentence acts as an introduction to the readers, telling us that we should not be afraid. Since God does not desire human sacrifice, this is a test, and therefore there will be none. The main characters, though, do not have this knowledge. The term Nisa is most commonly translated as tested, or sometimes as did prove. The root is commonly connected also with a banner or flag, and this is the usage of this verb throughout Tanakh. In other words, according to the mainstream commentaries, the purpose of this test was to teach, prove to humanity, the extent that man can love and fear God. God, who is all-knowing, gains nothing from the test. It is Avram, or humanity, who gain knowledge, and Avram gets raised up like a banner to the world as a sign of how humanity can break out from their limitations and achieve the supernatural. In Hebrew, we also refer to a miracle as nes. A miracle is an event beyond the norms of nature, which could easily be a test for the recipient, as well as a visible sign like a banner. Man, too, can sometimes achieve levels beyond the everyday and the ordinary. Perhaps by beginning this chapter with this word, it reflects that signs, banners, miracles, and the reader should already anticipate the extraordinary. The story of the Akedah is a difficult one and has been discussed by Jews and non-Jews alike over the centuries. Perhaps, just perhaps, the key to unlocking this complicated story lies in the unsung and often overlooked hero of the story, the ram. This animal gives its life and saves the life of Yitzchak, who until that moment had been designated at the sacrifice requested by God. As it says in the first verse of the chapter, second verse, Kachna et bincha et yichidecha asher hafta et Yitzchak, v'lech lecha l'eretz hamoria v'aleyu sham la'ola el'achad harim asher omar elecha. Take your son, your only son, whom you love, et Yitzchak, and get you onto the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I shall tell you. 22:2. Once Yitzchak is bound on the altar, the knife in Avram's hand, an angel forbids the harming of Yitzchak, leaving Avram to spot a ram caught in the thicket. Vayisa Avram et Einav, V'hine, ayal achar nechaz b'svach karnav. And behold, Avram lifts up his eyes, and there is a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. Vayelech Avram vayikach et ayal vayaleu la'ola. And Avram goes, and he takes the ram, and he offers it as a burnt offering, tachat b'no, in place of his son. The timing of the arrival of a replacement for Yitzchak that was easily accessible to the elderly Avraham can be viewed as nothing short as miraculous. According to the Mishnah in Pirkei Avot, chapter 5, Mishnah 8, the 6 days of creation were topped off right before the onset of Shabbos with several unique creations. These critical products of God's handiwork were inherently miraculous and created as an essential for future events. Avram's ram is on this list, indicating that God had planned from the very beginning of the world for an animal to take place of Yitzchak. Close attention to the chronology of the Torah's account of creation makes it clear that the sin of Adam and Chava took place fairly early on the sixth day of creation. If this ram was created at the end of day six, right before Shabbat, that means it was created after the sin, and its very existence hints to God's realization that humanity must be able to repent. Perhaps God realizes that creation is not complete, nor can it be maintained without a way for mankind to repent. Says the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah 16a, why do we blow on a ram's horn? The Holy One, blessed be He, said, sound before me a ram's horn, a shofar, so that I may remember on your behalf the binding of Yitzchak, the son of Avram, and account it to you as if you had bound yourself before me. Therefore, God plans the binding of Yitzchak and the ram's replacement of him on the altar, so that the blowing of the shofar, specifically from a ram, serves as a trigger for humanity to repent and thereby wipe out sin, which is nothing short of miraculous. That is tshuva, repentance, the ability not only to rebuild one's relationship with God, but to actually undo past events is outside of natural law and is considered a miracle in its own right. We often underappreciate the gift of tshuva along with its wondrous properties. Avraham overcame the limits of humanity with his willingness to heed God's command regarding Yitzchak. Tshuva allows humanity to overcome its limitations of habituation and willfulness to atone for sin. And once we're talking about miracles, let's just remember that Yitzchak himself is a miracle. He should never have been born. Avraham was barren. Sarah doesn't even have a womb. Yitzchak's birth was a miraculous event representing the secret of the miraculous existence of the Jewish people, both physically and spiritually. This ram, oddly, miraculously, continues to play an important part in other historical significant wondrous events. Pirkei d'Rabbi Elezer 30 explains, and I quote, Hanina ben Dosa said, the ram that was created at twilight on the sixth day of creation, not a part of it was without purpose. The ram's ash was the foundation for the altar within the temple hall. Its sinews provided the 10 strings for the harp David played. Its hide became the leather girdle on the loins of Eliyahu, and remembered on good occasions. Its two horns were made into shofars. The left horn is the one that the Holy One blew at Har Sinai, and the right horn, larger than the left one, the Holy One will blow in the time to come when it says, and it shall come to pass on that day that a large horn shall be blown, Yeshayahu 27:13, end quote. This ram is now not only connected to the Akedah and the creation of the world, but also to the revelation at Har Sinai and to the future redemption. At the Akedah, the ram helps to redeem Yitzchak. At Har Sinai, it aids the Jewish nation, and in the future, it will play a role to redeem the whole world. According to Rav Yosef Albo, Judaism can be explained by three fundamental principles: belief that God exists, He gave Torah to his nation at Har Sinai, and there is ultimate reward and punishment, resulting in a final redemption. The ram's physical body, based on these three events, creation, the revelation at Har Sinai through the shofar, and the redemption when the large horn will be blown, all summarize Judaism and the purpose of the world. The connection between the Akedah and the giving of Torah is emphasized in the Midrash that associates the mountain of Sinai, where the Torah was given, as being a break-off of the Har HaMoriah, where the binding of Yitzchak occurred. This Midrash is indicating that these two events have to be integrally connected. The physical connection reveals to us a deeper philosophical connection. Indeed, there are more similarities between these two episodes. Both stories occur up a mountain, in an unknown land, covered with clouds on the third day. Both stories represent man's submission and acceptance of God's reign on this earth. And both stories contain elements of death or near-death experiences. According to Rav Nevenzahl, the spiritual greatness necessary for the formation of the Jewish nation and accepting the Torah comes from the Akedah. The striking similarities teach man, and then a nation, what our purpose in the world is: to serve God as God sees fit. The replacing of Yitzchak with the Ayal, the ram, was a miraculous part of God's plan from the very beginning of the world. In Yirmiyahu 19:5, it says, "Ubanu et habamot habal lisrof et baneihem be'esh, olot labal asher lo tziviti v'lo dibarti v'lo alta alibi." And they built the high places of the Baal to burn their children with fire as burnt offerings to the Baal, which I did not command, neither did I speak, nor did it enter my mind. The Medrash explains that the parts of the verse refer to different child sacrifices. I did not command is the daughter of Yiftach. I did not speak is the son of the king, either of Moab or Edom, and it never entered my mind, that's Yitzchak, indicating that God never intended to have Avram sacrifice his son. Rashi also makes that point on the very phrase at the beginning, v'ha'alehu sham la'ola, and bring him up there for a burnt offering. God does not say slaughter him, rather just bring him up, which is what Avram's did. God's intention was never to sacrifice Yitzchak. This, however, was not clear to Avraham. Yet, based on what we have said until now, the Akedah was part of God's plan to give mankind forgiveness from the very beginning of creation. The test was part of God's larger plan. So much of what man experiences seems to him to be inexplicable. Perhaps the lesson of the Akedah is that there is a plan. God says to Avram, I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant for his seed after him. And then God said, bring this very son up as a sacrifice. How did Avraham react to this apparent contradiction? Avraham did not understand, and this is perhaps what prevents him from praying. He wasn't quite sure what the appropriate prayer was. Now let's return to Aaron Krav. Avraham knew about these two different dimensions. He did not know, but he knew that God, with his plan, could make two seemingly contradictory commands work together. In the words of Rabbi Soloveitchik, he was not cognizant that by requesting Yitzchak, God actually annulled everything, including the fellowship between him and Avraham. Naively, almost irrationally, did he, Avraham, conceive the demand as somehow compatible with the whole. He carried it out as if it were another means leading to the realization of that eternal covenant. By acting the way he did, Avram unconsciously relieved the tension and reconciled himself with God. His test, then, is belief in the irrational. Subjugating oneself to God completely, accepting his will regardless of one's desires, man accepts God's supremacy, as is personified by the acceptance of that which does not make sense to the human brain. As the Rav states in another place, faith represents this peculiar attitude of leading a life fraught with realities which contradict the very ideal for which the faithful suffer. From Avram's first response of Hineni, I am here, to the removal of Yitzchak from the altar and his replacement with the Ayal, Avraham shows that it is not his desire or his personal sense of justice that motivates him. Avraham's consuming desire is to fill God's will. Service of God means doing what he commands. True fear of God, therefore, comes not while doing things that come naturally, says the Vilna Gaon, but acting against one's nature, proving the fear of God. Avram is commanded to go against his outstanding character trait of chesed, of kindness, take a knife in hand against his inner nature. That is what makes God said, now I know, ata yadati, that you are God-fearing. When later, according to the Midrash, God offers the Torah to the other nations and they refuse, their message is the same. It's not natural to accept laws and limits your own behavior, even as the Jewish people agree unconditionally. The test of Avram at the Akedah was part of God's larger plan for creation. It is an indication of the forgiveness and the potential forgiveness that the divine put in place from the very beginning of creation. Thank you for joining us today in studying Parshat Va'era. And now for the thought question. When we say and ask God to forgive us because of the merits of our forefathers, what we call Zuchut Avot, is that fair and why?